Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today, we're going to be talking with Kathy Kilroy. She is the president and co-founder of the Mentor Group Incorporated in Chicago, Illinois. Kathy, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Dave. My pleasure.
Well, you know, one of the things that we haven't yet spoken about here on the HR Power Hour, and happy to report we're in our, I think, eighth month now of broadcasting, so we're pretty excited about that, is that we haven't talked about mentoring. We haven't talked about mentoring in regards to that versus coaching. So could you first tell me the difference, what the difference really is between mentoring and coaching, and why it's valuable?
Sure. This is a question that we're frequently asked, and first, I think it's important to make a distinction between a manager who uses coaching skills with their direct reports and a professional coach. So a professional coach is a trained facilitator. They're trained to listen, observe, and then customize their approach to individual client needs. And coaches, I think, take a questioning approach and help their clients to discover the answers, develop strategies, and make behavioral changes. The professional coach is usually that individual who's brought into an organization from the outside to work with executives and key performers. And the coach and client focus on a defined set of goals to improve his or her performance and their impact, as well as their personal satisfaction in their role and in their personal life. So the coaching assignment produces positive changes in business behaviors, which ultimately improves the effectiveness of the person in their role and the organization overall. Mentoring, traditionally, the term mentor or mentoring was automatically associated with kind of the soft side of development. So the long-established focus of mentoring was really on upward mobility and career pathing in an organization. And individuals thought that mentoring just sort of happened and that a mentor was vital for many individuals if they wanted to advance to the most senior levels within their organization. That the mentor was that special sounding board or confidant, if you will, that individual went to for issues that he or she didn't feel they could discuss with their manager or somebody that they were in a reporting relationship with. Today, the role of mentor is much more expanded to not only help guide an individual's career path and be a confidant, but to provide assistance and teaching in a specific skill or competency or knowledge area, which is more focused and planned in a much more deliberate way. And we do a lot of training for mentors and mentees, and I think, you know, everybody thinks they have a very clear understanding of what a mentor, a mentee, and mentoring means. But if I ask 15 different people for a definition, I get 15 different variations.
There's no question. Do you find that this also depends on the industry in terms of, sometimes, you know, a leader thinks that they're mentoring someone if they have an intern. They're mentoring somebody if they, you know, have an assistant. And that may be part of it, that's correct, but they might be coaching them as well. There is a really not necessarily a clear understanding by business leaders, HR professionals out there of the difference.
You know, sometimes I'll use a metaphor with people to explain the difference between a coach and a mentor. The coach is someone who helps the employee decide if fishing is important to them, and if so, helps them to choose the best technique based on the desired results, where a mentor teaches the employee to fish and helps them find the best spots. So coaches seldom mentor, but I really believe all good mentors have great coaching skills. Coaches focus on specific performance and behavioral issues, where mentors are going to focus more on overall development. Coaches may teach specific steps in a process, where a mentor is going to be more focused on the big picture of the process overall. And coaches really help you decide what you want to do. Mentors then help create and contribute to the plan to get you there. So a coaching relationship is usually for a fixed term, and it's a shorter term, where a mentoring relationship is usually ongoing and for a longer term.
Do you find that there are more effective times to use mentoring or to use coaching in terms of, you know, when the best time to use them are or select between the two?
I think if you're trying to develop specific skills or competencies, or maybe you're onboarding an individual into a new role, mentoring is a great strategy, a development strategy. It's efficient, it's cost-effective, and mentoring really can provide the most targeted form of learning and transfer knowledge and best practices in an organization. It's best to use coaching when you're looking to help an individual to take their performance to the next level, or when that development need is focused on behavioral change. And often at the most senior levels, when we're engaged in a coaching process, the coaching will also focus on strategy development and building and working effectively with that executive team. So I think one way to look at it is, what's the development that you're trying to accomplish, and what can be accomplished in the context of a mentoring relationship? The more behavioral the development, I think that's outside of a mentoring relationship, and you're better off using a professional coach to deal with that.
From a mentoring perspective, this kind of fits into an overall talent development strategy for an organization or a group. Tell me how it really fits in terms of ensuring that there are results, because at the end of the day, people want results. And so, you know, how does this really affect it, and how do you measure that?
Well, first, we believe mentoring is a business strategy. And in order for mentoring to be successful, it's important that right up front you are identifying, you know, what are the business goals for putting in this mentoring initiative, and how are we going to measure success? And just like any other business strategy, there needs to be a plan and a process in place for you to implement that. So just as if you were, you know, implementing a TQM process or some new initiative in organization, where you would have very deliberate and pulled together plans, that's what we believe you need to put in place.
So it starts really at the top. There has to be an organizational analysis done that says, this is something we need to do for our organization, for our people. This fits into our talent development strategy, and it has to become a key business priority, correct, for the organization?
That's correct. And you know, and it shouldn't be a standalone. It should be integrated and part of a complete talent management process.
Now, do you find that when an organization first looks at mentoring, that they're trying to determine, A, how to maybe transfer knowledge from an older generation to a younger generation, to transfer maybe knowledge from a younger generation to an old generation, maybe from a technology standpoint, or do you find that there are other ways that you really see mentoring being used?
I think those are both very important reasons. I think the top three reasons our clients are implementing formal mentoring programs typically, and this has shifted, but the number one right now is to help build the leadership and succession pipeline. So there is that focus on growing future business leaders, getting that knowledge transferred. I mean, when we look at all the demographic information in the marketplace and the number of baby boomers who will be exiting organizations over the next several years, you know, they want to fill that pipeline and develop that. So that's the top reason. The second reason is to support recruiting, retention, and engagement activities. And that's a huge one, especially for large organizations trying, you know, to compete for top talent and young people coming on board. And the third is usually around diversity and inclusion initiatives. And we see that particularly with our manufacturing clients, where they're trying to build, you know, more diversity in their leadership pipeline, women in particular. And so mentoring is a very effective strategy to do that.
What do you think are the benefits of really pulling together a formal mentoring program and having it in place? And in other words, not only the benefits, but what kind of results can people see?
Well, first and foremost, it really does improve that talent pipeline and help grow the business leaders. I think for people moving into new roles, it provides a structure for onboarding and ramp up very quickly and accelerates learning and ensures that knowledge transfer. Career development and succession planning, those are big benefits as a result of mentoring. And some that may be not as easily seen, it really does help and can help pinpoint and address specific development needs of people participating in, you know, in a mentoring program. It broadens employee skill sets for flexible deployment, and we see that becoming increasingly important, especially in the global workplace. So, you know, how do we get people up to speed quick enough, provide them opportunities for cross-functional assignments, and give them a mentor to help ensure their success?
You know, you're talking about mentors and mentees, basically, the people who are getting mentored. Tell me a little about how do you match them up? I mean, one of the things we certainly do in executive coaching is making sure that a coach and the candidate or the person being coached has a good personal chemistry, a good personal fit. Does that still apply for mentors and mentees?
I think ultimately we want it to apply, but it's not the first criteria. Generally, the matching is done based on the learning needs of the mentee. So we're doing some form of assessment up front, usually either a skill competency assessment that's the organization may have in place or one of ours, and we're probably doing, we're doing a personality assessment as well. So we want to identify what are those learning needs and what does this individual want to take away from this partnership? So it's based on that. We'll generally have people fill out what we call a portfolio information document. So it's asking them personal information as well as their career history and experience. And I always, and we have both mentors and mentees fill those out, and I always ask mentors not only what are they good at, but what do they want to mentor on? And occasionally, those are two different things. And then we'll look at all that and make the most appropriate match. But and you don't want to match somebody with their manager or somebody that they're reporting to. And the best mentoring partnerships are usually outside of your department or your division. And particularly in large organizations we work with that are so siloed, many of them really enjoy, you know, putting in the formal mentoring process because it allows the opportunity to help start to break down some of those silos and get people introduced across divisions.
Well, that's a really important part of it because it really does help improve communication within the organization, not only from the mentoring standpoint, but just general, you know, understanding what some people in the other departments do.
Exactly.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-535-1061. 1-888-535-1061.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelight.com.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Today, nearly half our nation's fighting forces are members of the Guard and Reserve.
We got them. Let's roll.
When they are called to active duty, they leave behind a family, a community, and a job. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, a Department of Defense agency, honors and protects the bond between service members and their civilian employers. Whether serving our country or supporting those who do, we all serve. To learn more about ESGR, call 1-800-336-4590 or visit esgr.mil.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Kathy Kilroy from the Mentor Group. And Kathy, again, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you, Dave.
You know, one of the things we just talked about in the last segment was a lot about mentoring in general and kind of how it differs from coaching. Could you provide me and the audience, obviously, with an example of how an organization started with what, you know, what was the reason they decided to bring in a mentoring program, how they decided to put it into place, kind of how they made it happen and you helped them with it, and then maybe a result at the end. And I know that seems like a lot, but I'm sure that you can come up with an example that really will, you know, provide a real insight into that.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, let's look at one of our large manufacturing clients, Global Manufacturer, as an example. And you know, initially when we started conversations with them, they were very interested. They thought they wanted to put in mentoring really as a diversity initiative to develop more women. They had very few women in leadership roles, and that was becoming a challenge. And they were hearing that from the marketplace, too. They, you know, that their customers were saying to them, the people who are calling on us, you know, for our business do not look like us or sound like us, and, you know, you need more diversity. So that was, you know, the first pass. So what we did with them is really met with a team of HR leaders and key stakeholders in the organization. That's always the first place you want to start. So you identify what are the real goals and how are we going to measure success of this outcome. And get them on board.
It really does start at the top, doesn't it?
It starts at the top.
It's got to start.
How
there.
Are we going to nominate people? How are we going to qualify mentors and mentees? And how does this fit into their larger talent management strategies and initiatives that they had going on at the company? And what, you know, in talking to them, and even they had so few women, and they were digging very, very deep into, you know, they wanted to focus and just to mentor women only. And I said to them, knowing the organization well, if you set this up solely as a women's initiative, a women's mentoring program, the perception in the organization is going to be so much different. It's going to be perceived as they need extra help or remedial help to be successful. So I said, why don't we focus this as a high potential initiative? I mean, we can certainly say, you know, you can set the criteria. We can say that 60% of the mentees or 70% have to be female, but let's set it up as a high potential mentoring program, which has a whole different connotation and focus. So that's what they ultimately did, and it was very successful. So we went in and we started the process identifying, all right, giving them communications materials to roll it out to managers so that managers would start nominating people in their divisions, and we gave them specific criteria of how many each division could nominate, and we ended up with 25 mentees across multiple business units.
You're talking about nominees, and maybe for people listening, they might say, well, why are they being nominated and not just selected? So why would, and then how does that nomination process work a little bit? I just want to clarify that a little bit because of the terminology.
Okay. That is a great question, Dave. If they're nominating or selecting, if we went to the managers with specific criteria and said, in order to identify people who should participate in this first phase, you want people who are focused on their career. They have an interest in learning and progressing. They have a can-do attitude, and they're willing to make a commitment. So pretty broad without even getting to any skills and competencies yet. And then they and we said to each manager, you have to, because they did want to have a slate of women in there, you have to have X percent of women within the total slate nominated. So we ended up with a slate probably of about 38, 40 people, and then whittled that down for this first phase to make it manageable to 25 mentees. And then, you know, thank the other people, thank the managers for nominating. And then you have to be very careful in your communications to managers in the organization overall how you roll out mentoring.
Okay, that makes absolute sense, because I think, you know, it's important to make sure not only of the buy-in, but people who maybe weren't selected, they still need to feel positive about the process.
Absolutely. So that, and if you call it, instead of calling it a pilot program, if you say this is phase one, it indicates to the organization that there are future opportunities to participate.
Yeah, no, and I think that's important.
Okay. Because people perceive it as, oh my goodness, I'm excluded, aren't I a high potential if I'm not in that first
Group. You're absolutely correct.
Yes.
It could be a negative impact, which obviously nobody would want to have. All right, so now you've gone through the process, you've obviously nominated, you selected. What next?
Next, we do some assessment with the mentees. So we assess them on five key competencies that we identified as being important to this organization for people to have to advance into the leadership ranks. So we created a self-assessment around those competencies. They self-assess themselves. Oftentimes in organizations, we're having a joint assessment with the manager. But in this case, we just had the individuals self-assess themselves on these particular competencies. We also had them complete a more behavioral assessment as well, so that we had an understanding of their personality and communication style. And then after we did that, they met with one of our certified mentors on our staff to really review all that assessment information and come up with their top learning goals. So we identified some of those learning goals before we ever even got to the matching and pairing then. So they did that with a certified mentor on my staff. And then we took all those goals, looked at the learning goals, and based on those learning goals, then made the matches with the appropriate mentors in the organization.
No, I think that's a key part, right, to make sure that grouping between the individuals or the teams in this case really fit and match.
Absolutely. And the other thing that's critical to any mentoring initiative is you need to permit no-fault withdrawal. So if for some reason the partnership isn't working, whether it's personality, whether it's, you know, one of the partners not being able to devote the time to it, they need to know that there's a mechanism in place for them to go to let somebody know, and that a different match will be made and it's okay. Because if they're not committed and focused on it, they're not going to be successful in the roles anyway.
Well, this ties into buy-in, right? To make sure that they really truly understand that this is, again, an initiative from the top that has come down through the ranks that really makes everybody understand the importance of it. The other thing that I was questioning on is, are there measure points or trigger points that in the mentoring that people can actually see the results starting to go through? How does that process work?
That's a very key point of having a successful initiative. We believe that you have to have frequent touch points. So often organizations will assign a process coordinator for their mentoring, or in some cases, and in this particular case of this example I'm giving you, they outsourced that to us, and we served as their process coordinator. So we were the go-to people if there were any issues or challenges they were having in their partnerships. They had 1-800 number support throughout their entire term of that mentoring relationship. And then we reached out to them 6 weeks after the partnerships launched to do a touch base. How was your initial meeting? How is the relationship working? And then we continue to touch base on quarterly intervals, and then both by phone and via survey, and then report all that, you know, all the good news back to the organization. What are they working on? What are they accomplishing?
No, I think that's an important part of this because, you know, like with coaching, there has to be an area in which people can see some movement. And it is about, I like to call it, about small wins, about
yes.
starting to see little incremental steps that have a positive impact to the organization, to the team, to the individual, so that they can know that the process is actually working.
Absolutely. I think, and there were some big wins, in this particular example. I remember one person said they're a mentor and mentee partnership. The mentor was in Canada. The mentee was here in the United States. And their paths never would have crossed had it not been for this mentoring relationship. But through working together, this young mentee who was very bright came up with some ideas, and he was able through his mentor to get those in front of the right people, and they ended up launching, and coming up with a new product idea that generated millions of dollars worth of new revenue.
Well, that certainly makes the result, right?
It certainly makes the result right there and paid for the mentoring program, absolutely. Another example of what was going on in that particular company, one story I really liked from some mentees. At the end of the partnerships, we were convening the group, the mentees, on a quarterly basis for additional learning as well. And some of that was facilitated by members on my team, and some of that we had the mentors facilitate. So if they wanted to drive specific learning around business processes within the organizations, and they called it their 80-20 toolkit, then their own people were teaching that to these people and giving them learning and development that they wouldn't have been privy to for, probably several years later based on the level they were in the organization. So they were exposing them not only to new processes and ideas, but they were opening their networks and exposing them to people. And one of the, there were three mentors and three mentees out of this that they got together and brought them, these three mentors were all within the same division. They brought their three mentees in to a strategic planning meeting with them one time. And it was such a wonderful experience from both sides because from the mentor perspective, they said, oh my gosh, we really got some great ideas, when we asked for it on the part of these mentees as we were thinking about, our plans and moving forward next year. And from the mentee perspective, I thought one of the cutest and funniest stories really was the mentee said, I always thought those executives, it was like the Wizard of Oz. They kind of stood behind the curtain and they had all the answers to everything. And when we were in those meetings, we realized they really didn't. I mean, they're brainstorming and creating, and they said, we felt so honored to be there and participate in that. So it was just, those kinds of things are invaluable. You can't translate some of that to bottom line results, but in terms of engagement and commitment to the company and making their jobs more rewarding and worthwhile, it's a hundredfold.
No, that's great. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Every second, someone turns to OnStar for help.
OnStar Center.
I just woke up and my car was stolen.
I hate that you had to call us under these circumstances, but I'll be happy to assist you. Are you in a safe location?
Yeah, the car was in the driveway. My wife's car was behind mine. I come out to get the newspaper. Her car's out in the street. So they pushed her car out to get to my car.
Do you have the stolen vehicle report number?
550.
Now you can add this kind of protection to your car with new OnStar FMV.
Police Department.
I have a location on a stolen vehicle. It's just off of Riddler Brook Court. It's stationary.
Thanks, OnStar. We have three units going out there.
This is Pete.
This is the OnStar Center. We have located the vehicle. Police, you'll be contacting you shortly.
Okay, thanks so much.
OnStar is built into most new Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac models. And now, you can even add it to your car with new OnStar FMV. Visit OnStar.com for FMV retailers, availability, system limitations, and details.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org.
I'm in a state of caffeination. station. Got all my fingers shaking. Must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates. 'Cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient. Getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
People think saving money is hard, but really, it's easy. It's as simple as changing a few spending habits. For free tips on how to save the easy way, check out feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. We are talking with Kathy Kiroy from the Mentor Group out in the beautiful city of Chicago, Illinois. And, you know, we're talking about mentoring today. And mentoring is such an important and invaluable tool for not only HR professionals, but business leaders across the nation. And I think this is a very important topic. So, Kathy, I appreciate you being here to talk about it.
I'm delighted to be here.
We're going to be talking about group mentoring next. And I think we'll start with a very simple question. What is group mentoring and how does it work? And maybe I'll throw in one other part of this is how does it differentiate from maybe the other type of mentoring that we talked about before for an individual or for an organization?
Sure. Well, group mentoring, just as it implies, involves more than two individuals. Typically, mentoring, when we think of mentoring, we think of mentoring partnerships or two people in a relationship. Group mentoring really expands the mentoring capacity of an organization by being able to offer mentoring on a broader scale to more people. So it's always an effective way to drive learning and to help people feel connected in their organization. And group mentoring, in many cases, often solves the challenge of that organizations have, that they have more people seeking mentoring than they have mentors to deliver it. And so they can't simply make those one-on-one matches.
So tell me how that works, though, because, I mean, obviously with one-on-one, it's fairly obvious. How do the differences between individuals in a group from a level perspective or mm-hmm. a knowledge perspective get adjusted if you're going to do group mentoring?
Great question. So in a group mentoring situation, a group of individuals usually comes together to achieve specific learning goals. So often that group is the same level in an organization, you know, so you don't have a disparity between very senior level people and more junior level people. And that can be accomplished in a couple ways. So it can be facilitated group meetings, and that may be led by one mentor or a series of mentor. And typically where we see that happening is they'll come together maybe once a month to discuss a specific topic or a best business practice. For instance, in that example I gave you of the company that we were working with, those were all individual partnerships, but what we did to enhance and reinforce the learning was to involve the mentees as a group in a group mentoring model facilitated by a couple of mentors over time, just to reinforce the learning. There's also what we call peer group mentoring, and this really brings together peers with similar interests and learning needs. And in these types of groups, they're often more self-directed and self-managed. So they set their own agendas, and oftentimes, you know, they could be meeting once a month, they could be meeting once a quarter, but they come together and they'll have an agenda, and then each participant perhaps maybe is going to present a problem or an issue for the group to discuss and solve within the context of that group. And sometimes they'll build in some accountability measures as well. One group mentoring model that I'll mention to you that, you know, we launched about 2 years ago, and this we have a program we call Mentor Rings, Circles of Leadership, Learning, and Success. And what that ring is, we bring together a group of 12 people. And these 12 people, what's different about this from doing a group within an organization, they're all from different companies. So they come together from different companies. And it's facilitated, the group is facilitated by a certified mentor on my staff, but the participants are participating as advisor learners. So they're all peers within the group. It's a unique blend, we think, of career development and leadership development. So there's a big leadership development focus on the programming and the training when they come together. There is peer learning and support going on all the time, and they do have an accountability partner. And the added value is that they have the opportunity to work individually as well with an executive coach or mentor on our staff. So they're getting individualized assessment and coaching as a part of that process too, which they really, really love. They love the individual assessment and coaching. And the other biggest value that they tell us they really love is that they have the opportunity to network and connect with people from other companies and industries and across different functions as well. So it kind of mirrors what an organization would look like, because we have people with all different functional backgrounds participating. And the learning is rich and the sharing is, you know, very supportive, and it's been a very powerful process for us.
Now, you do this not only within a organization, but it can also be within, you know, individual levels from many different organizations, correct?
Absolutely.
You bring groups together who are all at a senior level, for example, in terms of CFO or maybe at a senior VP level of HR or different levels together.
Yes.
And, you know, some of the, because you and I have obviously spoken about this, some of the impact has been pretty profound.
It is profound. I think, you know, the thing about this group mentoring model or our mentor rings model is that, you know, the concept of that ring concept can apply to all kinds of different types of mentoring. So we've used that kind of mentoring for people that are in career transition. We've used that for women in executive roles. We've used this for people that are CEOs and CFOs of companies. But the common denominator is that when you're putting that group together, is that there's a common demographic in terms of, you know, who you're putting in the group and what you're looking to accomplish.
When you've done these, are there at the end of the groups, or how long do they go for? What do people look to get out of them, other than, you know, obviously the conversation and the buy-in between them at their level? What are some of the things they look to get out of it?
Typically, the groups are a minimum of 6 months that are meeting in that kind of group mentoring session. They, you know, they're seeking, you know, I think they're seeking an opportunity for a confidential safe space where they can come in and talk about real business issues that are going on in their organizations, get some advice and feedback from their peer colleagues within there. They're getting some executive development through the assessment process. So we are working additionally on behaviors and how to be more impactful in their roles. And we put a lot of emphasis also on their professional branding and how they're, you know, positioning themselves within their organizations and articulating their value proposition. So it does have a, you know, career development focus. What we've seen from most of these groups, Dave, is that, you know, even after the group formally disbands, where our certified mentor is leading sessions on a monthly basis with them, they continue to want to stay in touch and meet. And so we, you know, we have alumni groups that meet for dinners and or get together for breakfast meetings because it's because of the relationships they've developed. It's all about the relationship.
No, I think you're absolutely correct. And the invaluable tool there is the fact that they're always connected to somebody.
Yes.
So that they can bounce ideas off it. And, you know, sometimes it's lonely at the top, especially at the CEO level. And they can't really talk about a lot to many people. And so it's certainly a valuable tool. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
I love Maine, and I'm interested in Maine news.
But I want it quickly and simply.
All in one place would be good.
You've just described a great website.
Really?
MaineNewsSimply.com.
Maine news.
Three words. MaineNewsSimply.com. Go to the site and I'll explain. MaineNewsSimply.com collects news as it happens from news sources all over Maine. It's compiled and presented online in an easy-to-read format that keeps you up to date in just minutes. MaineNewsSimply.com is for people on the go who want the news of Maine fast, anywhere, anytime.
I'm on, and you're right. This is exactly what I asked for.
Discover what thousands of Mainers already have. Maine News Simply, the free online website and daily newsletter loaded with headlines and stories from close to 50 news sources.
Maine News Simply looks great, easy to read, current, interesting. I like it.
Try it today, and while you're there, sign up for the newsletter. It's all free. Three words, MaineNewsSimply.com. The smarter, faster way to stay on top of the news in Maine.
And you're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. And we are talking with Kathy Kilroy today from the Mentor Group. And as the name says, we are talking about mentoring today. Kathy, we've been talking about peer mentoring and group mentoring. Are there other types of mentoring that are out there? And if so, could you kind of give an example of what they are and tell us what it's all about?
Sure, Dave. There are many different focuses of mentoring, and a lot of the focuses we put on mentoring depends on what an organization is trying to accomplish. You know, as we talked about earlier, historically, mentoring has always mostly focused on networking and career pathing for selected individuals. But it's much more productive and rich when an organization introduces mentoring as an employee development tool. So oftentimes there might be a focus on organizational mentoring, helping somebody, you know, become familiar with the organization, the culture, the politics. So some of the learning goals are driven that way. Skill competency-based mentoring is a big one, and I think that's, you know, certainly we've talked about that, and that's where I think organizations get the biggest bang for their buck, when we focus specifically on those skills or competencies that an organization is trying to develop and reinforce in their leaders. Reverse mentoring, and we didn't talk about reverse mentoring. Reverse mentoring, and that's becoming much more common today, and that's a situation where you match a more senior person as the mentee with a younger person as the mentor. And usually that's to help them stay up to date, particularly around technology. So we see much more of that going on in today's environment. And again, getting back to the matching, we always match based on the learning needs of the mentee. So some, you know, I've had examples of even admin people that have successfully mentored senior executives, or, you know, Gen Y mentoring senior executives as well, specifically around learning needs with technology.
Well, you know, it's certainly in the generational area, an area that I've talked a lot about, and when I do speaking on the generational differences, is the fact that Gen Y really does match well with the baby boom generation.
They
in
do.
Terms of being able to really connect, and the reverse mentoring and the regular mentoring works both ways. They need the knowledge, they need the, you know, the skill of really learning how things work and why they work, and trying not to make the same mistake, you know, the generation before them made. But they lack the technology on the other side. And that is a great, great mentoring program.
It's a great mentoring program. You know, and even many companies are focusing on mentoring programs for Gen Y. We'll talk about that for a second, just because, you know, oftentimes when you're recruiting on campus, one of the first questions, you know, the campus recruiter is being asked is, do you have a formal mentoring program in place? Because these young people coming on board in an organization want to know that there's going to be somebody in that new organization that's going to be looking out for them and have their career and best interest at heart. Mentoring also is, you know, always companies that employ mentoring strategies, those companies are always on the best companies to work for list. And that's another reason, you know, many companies put formal processes in place as well. Now, there's virtual mentoring, and that's really done through email. So the mentor and the mentee probably will never even meet face-to-face. There's different challenges, obviously, with virtual mentoring. I think you have to, you know, be more planful in setting your meetings, go in with established goals for those conversations, and we train and teach them how to do that. But my best example of virtual mentoring was we had a mentor sitting in Colorado, and the mentee was in India. So that was truly distance mentoring, but they made that work, and it was very successful in terms of getting that person up to speed and, you know, on board with what they needed to accomplish in that particular business unit.
No, I think that's a very important part of what we're talking about today, is that, you know, this really is a valuable tool that people coming out of school really understand already. You know, this is something that's being taught and understood at colleges and universities, and I think that it makes a big difference if a company can say that they do have a program where they are matching their best with you and going to give you a leg up when you come into the organization.
Absolutely. Which, you know, I'll make one comment on the matching, because when organizations are matching a mentor-mentee partnership, one of the things that we really have to be careful of is not to make the gap too big between the individuals that they're matching. So if you're putting a young person coming new into the organization with a senior executive to help mentor that person, the gap's too big. They often don't remember what the learning curve was like. So you want to match them with somebody who's maybe been in the organization or a role 5 to 10 years, just a little bit ahead of them so that they remember what it was like when they started, and that they can help bring them up to speed. So matching, you know, that young and older generation does come into play. Then there's, you know, people have probably heard of affinity groups, and many organizations have affinity groups within organizations that are specifically targeted for women or minorities or different ethnic groups or technical specialists. There's many organizations that have IT groups or different business councils to represent these different constituencies within the organization. So those affinity groups oftentimes will do, there'll be a group mentoring process in place for them, or we may be doing individual partnerships within the group to help them be successful. Another, you know, trend in mentoring that we're seeing, and not one that I use frequently, is speed mentoring, which is much like speed dating. They're time-limited meetings. They're usually about an hour in duration, and the mentee is matched with a mentor, and that whole process is really just focused on quick-hit information sharing and networking. And then they get what they need from that, and they move on.
Well, you know, speaking of speed networking and speed mentoring, we have a couple minutes left, so I wanted to first thank you very much for bringing this very valuable information to us. And Kathy, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get some information on mentoring or a packet of information, how would they go about doing that?
Probably the best way to reach me, Dave, would be via email, and just put HR Power Hour in the title, and my email address is K Kilroy, so it's KKILROY at mentorgroup.com. And I'd be happy to send you an executive briefing packet on mentoring that, you know, kind of would walk you through all the steps you need to put in place to have a successful initiative.
No, that's great. And certainly on the HRPowerHour.com site, we will have your information right after this show, and people can go and certainly listen and get the information, and we'll have a direct link to your email so that if they didn't catch it, they can do that. Certainly they can go to your website, and that is?
MentorGroup.com.
Very simple yet very effective. Kathy, I appreciate so much you being on the show today. A great partner, of course, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the opportunity. Nice to be with your audience today.
A quick notice to our listening audience. CMAKorea.com is now offering Korea Workspace for individuals. It is a special version of the corporate Korea Workspace online career portal that is now available to individual job seekers. Are you struggling with your job search, frustrated with having to go to multiple sites to search for job listings, or tired of looking at page after page of search results to research a company? Go to cmakorea.com, go to Career Workspace, click on the individual tab, and get more information. And now your HR tip of the week. Do you know what questions are legal and illegal to ask when doing an interview? It's important to understand that there is a difference, and that you can get in a lot of trouble and have some real liability issues if you ask inappropriate questions. So let's make sure you know exactly what you can and cannot say to keep yourself out of trouble. And that's your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Martin Snyder. He's the president of Maine Sequence Technology. The world needs more recruiting, he says, and he's also going to be talking about his company, PC Recruiter. Our second guest will be Bud Bernstein and Heather Bassett. They're from MaineHR.com. They're going to be talking about the next Maine HR convention, which is May 7th through 10th. And they're a wonderful sponsor of this show. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBRadio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.